My name is Tony Litt. I'm the MD of Sunrise Radio, and it's my immense pleasure to bring you the official Sunrise Radio podcast. We are the number one commercial Asian station in the United Kingdom, with many firsts to our name, and we continue to be the voice of British Asians who have given us their love and loyalty over 30 years. It's a legacy we cherish and a responsibility that we don't take lightly. Our aim has always been to entertain the listeners with the best of Bollywood and Bhangra, while also addressing their concerns. A real voice for the community, a vibrant community, and a great nation. We are proud to be British and Asian. This podcast is a compilation of some of the things we do on the station, with a stellar lineup of presenters who each have their own personality and style. It's entertaining, informative, engaging, and we hope you will enjoy it here as a podcast if you are unable to tune in to the radio. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your family and friends about this podcast. And do leave us a comment on what you think. We'd love to hear from you. All the best always. Team Sunrise. The UK's biggest
station mix. Sunrise Radio. Hey, my name is Shabnam Sahi. Welcome to the official Sunrise Radio podcast. I'm on your radio weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. If you've heard the show, you know what to expect from it. But here are some exciting, interesting Bollywood stories that you may have missed this time round, served up as part of our official Sunrise Radio podcast. Enjoy. Joining me live in the studio, I've got Mr. Praveen Patni and his son JSL Patni of Minar Jewelers. It's always a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Thank you, Shabnam.
Now, you know what, your CVs, I know every time we chat, you know, it gets sent to me and it runs into pages and pages, and I feel that it is impossible for me to give my listeners a sense of how accomplished you truly are, other than what I can say from personal experience is that, you know, you are hugely respected and much loved by your clients and by your peers. And I think in any profession, that has to be the ultimate hallmark, benchmark, the 24-carat seal of approval from people who deal with you. So, I mean, you know, I'm just going to put this aside, although it says that, Mr. Patni, you have been, retailing jewelry, 18-carat gold diamonds, 22-carat gold Asian jewelry for the last 48 years in England. And of course, you previously started in Kenya. And yours is a fourth-generation business as well. Jason is here to testify that. And JSL, you joined your dad some years ago, and you are a diamond expert, and you have commissioned many, many special pieces of exclusive jewelry. One of them, a bangle valued at, correct me, is it £55,000?
Hi, Shabnam. Yes, that's right. We had a special client who made a wedding anniversary gift.
Yes.
And this one was one which we specially commissioned with this elephant design, studded with diamonds and emeralds and rubies. So really a special piece. And I think those are those special pieces that really mean so much to us as well.
Absolutely. Now, let's start with something. Tell us a bit, for those who perhaps are tuning in for the first time, give us a sense of what Minar Jewelers stands for. Tell us a bit more about the brand, please.
Well, Shabnam, you know, we have spoken about this before, but, you know, Minar Jewelers is a multi-award winning business. And since 2014, we've been very privileged to have won back-to-back awards as a fourth generation business. You know, we've been so, pleased and privileged to have so many wonderful clients, both in the UK and abroad. In 2021 and 2022, we were voted as the top 100 inspiring independence by our jewelry journal. Mm. A recent award is just something completely different from our normal business awards that we've won for customer service and for being the best independent retailer in the country, is one for a special project that we did for a local South Thames college. Mm. And what we did is we encouraged the art students to design our window for Valentine's Day and the King's coronation. And what these students had an opportunity to do is actually come into our showroom, handle the jewellery, and actually display the jewellery with a little artistic flair.
How exciting it must be even for them, right? To be able to do this for...
Exactly. And I think, you know what, the beauty of what our business allows us to do in South London is that we are able to connect with the local community. And there's so much talent there, and to be able to give them that opportunity or first opportunity to work for a business and be able to really showcase their talents.
Yes.
We love that. We absolutely love being able to give them that opportunity.
Hmm. Now, before we get down to the serious stuff, I do also want to talk about, you've just been shortlisted for something which is hugely prestigious. Please tell us what it is.
So in our most recent UK Jewellery Awards, we've been shortlisted for two awards. One is for our online offering, so minarjewellers.com, and the other one is for our retail offering, so the best independent in the country. So to be amongst the top five as an online business and also for an independent retailer, you know, makes us really feel really proud to be and one of the only Asian business within that list. So, you know, we feel really proud that we have that support from our client base to get there.
That's absolutely phenomenal. Now, Mr. Praveen, let's talk about, you're one business that cares a lot about the people who work for you. You care about where your gems are sourced from. And you care about growing an ethical and sustainable business in an environment that actually, you know, talks about the welfare of those working down the line in the chain. How do you do that? And it's absolutely amazing that, you know, you bring it up each time we have a chat, because you're a business that, again, not just cares about what you're dispensing to your clients, but cares about how it is being given to them.
I think for the benefit of Sunrise listeners, I think when we talk about responsible jewelry council, it doesn't have a lot of meaning. What it is a statement of intent by an independent retailer like us to say that we do care for those people who work within our industry. That includes that a statement confirming that there's no child labor used, there's no poor working conditions for people working in the industry, and that all of them who work in the industry, say for example a new couple comes into the shop to buy a diamond ring, we can guarantee that there's nobody killed or maimed in the process of mining. And it's great to have somebody who is going to wear a diamond for their lifetime to be assured that nothing untoward has taken place in the course of bringing that diamond mounted on the ring. So we are members of Responsible Jewelry Council, and we are privileged to be to say that out of almost 4,000 jewelers, there's only 90 independent retailers who passed the audit. We passed in 2016 and now it's all going to be 8 years. And I also am again very honored and privileged to be on the board of directors. So just making this statement, I have a stake. And the stake is that I want to make a difference to the people working within our industry and make sure that whoever comes into our shop knows that, you know, everything we sell is ethically sourced and what they are buying is definitely guaranteed. There's no people or no child labor is going to be used in the making of the jewelry that we sell.
Fantastic. Now, we were speaking about this earlier. You know, gold is at a record high and it's growing exponentially. So those of us who wish to get our jewelry evaluated and we want to know what our jewelry is worth, how can Minar help?
You know, Shabnam, the really interesting statistic that I saw this morning is that the price of gold has increased from £5.70 per gram to more than £55 per gram. That's an equivalent of almost 865% increase.
Goodness me. Yeah.
Since 2000. And there's not many investments which you could say has produced such a handsome income and a return. And what we've understood is that from our research, the vast majority of our Asian community do not get the jewelry valued for insurance. And really the only time that they find out about the value is when they have had a burglary or a loss.
Yes.
So we always recommend that every client, no matter how little or how much they have, they should get their jewelry valued.
Yes.
And we use a registered valuer who's a member of the Institute of Registered Valuer for all of our valuations. And both myself and my father, Praveen, are experts on how to value Asian jewelry. So what we do is we actually consult and we give guidance to other jewelers, to other valuers within the UK on how to value our Asian jewelry, which is so precious, so unique, so different. And this is where our expertise comes in. And we've also acted as expert advisors to solicitors, HM Revenue and Customs, the police, and expert witnesses in court cases. So I think, you know, what's really fascinating, particularly about the gold price, is that, you know, you get to wear this jewelry, you get to enjoy it, you get to take it to all these parties. But when you actually decide to sell it after 20 or 30 years, you've got actually more than what you have paid for.
Yes.
And there's very few things like that that you can enjoy, you can wear it, and absolutely, then you can sell it.
Absolutely. And the value goes up exponentially, right? So exactly. Many people look at jewelry as investment in, you know, something that you fall back on when times are hard or when you've tired of a particular design and you want to, you know, swap it for something else. Now, Mr. Praveen, we were talking about, in fact, you gave me a brilliant example of why you think it's important for people to have their jewellery valued, right?
Indeed.
So could you just give me that story again, please?
Yes, indeed. Now, before I go into that, Shobana, I just want to compliment your presentation. You are such a well-researched presenter. And whenever we actually tune into the radio, we can't switch it off because you've got such a variety and intellectually you're so sound. And, you know, I'm not just trying to say this to flatter you.
No,
but you
I know that. That
absolute,
means so much.
You're an absolutely brilliant presenter and we love listening to you.
Thank you so much.
Going back to the why people should get their jewelry valued. Now, I'm going to give you an example, a live example of a customer who came into my shop to have jewelry valued. So what I did was I asked the customer, what do you think is the value of your jewelry? Because you would have it insured anyway. And they said, we got it insured for just under £50,000. And then what our value did is what they took the photographs of each and every piece. They wrote a detailed description and did a proper booklet to illustrate each one what it was worth. And the valuation came to £114,000. So if the customer was given, had lost all the jewelry and they were given £50,000, which is very difficult for the insurance to give you the full claim without evidence, then he would be out of pocket by £64,000. And that is the reality of a lot of people who don't know the true value of the jewelry. We would strongly recommend that you go to a professional jeweler who is accredited by, you know, various professional bodies to value your jewelry. And once you've done that, you don't pay as much as you think. You should phone me at Minar Jewelers and I'll be happy to go through the rates, which is very easy for, and it's not as much as you think. So do let me know if you've got any questions and we'll be happy to answer those.
What do you think? Is it worth investing in gold right now?
Yeah, Shabnam, I mean, like all the other investments, investment gold can go up and down. You know, the current statistics prove that over the long term, gold is a very sound investment. And we're not financial advisors, but we know that from our own experience, that gold has proven to be a sound investment over a longer period of time.
Now, let's talk about lab-grown diamonds. We were, you know, discussing earlier that it's important for listeners to know the difference between a real diamond and a lab-grown diamond. What would you say about that?
So, you know, with diamonds and lab-grown diamonds, as the expression goes, diamonds are forever. So with laboratory-grown diamonds being abundantly sold on the market, really a lot of our customers want to know the difference. So the chemical composition of both natural and laboratory-grown diamonds is exactly the same. And as the name suggests, lab-grown diamonds, they are manufactured in a laboratory. Therefore, you can buy a larger diamond for a much smaller budget. So an example would be if somebody says, I've always wanted to go for a 1-carat diamond ring.
Yeah.
You could get a 1-carat lab-grown diamond ring for under £1,000. And if you went for a 1-carat natural diamond ring, you'd be paying £4,000 to £5,000.
Wow.
So that's really the difference.
Yes.
If you've always wanted to get something such a big piece or a statement piece of jewellery, you know, you don't need to now wait for your partner to buy that for you.
Yes.
You can actually come in and buy that yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, gold, diamond, these are both valuable commodities. What would you say to listeners when they're buying gold and diamonds? What is it that they should be really aware of and what should they look out for?
So very quickly, you know, it's important to understand that the UK hallmarking law states that all gold jewellery over 1 gram weight must be hallmarked by one of the 4 assay offices in the UK. So if you go to a jeweler, it is actually illegal for a jeweler to sell anything over 1 gram without a hallmark. So make sure that you ask the jeweler for the hallmark. And the hallmark consists of 4 marks. You got the sponsor's mark, who made it. You got the quality mark, for example, for platinum is 950. Then you got which assay office marked it. And then you got a date letter, which is not compulsory, but it's still there's 4 marks. So ask the jeweler to show you all the 4 marks, not just one mark, which says 916. That only says it's a stamp, which is done by workshops. It's important to know that a hallmark consists of 4 marks. If you go to a professional jeweler, they will have everything hallmarked. And I strongly recommend that you go to accredited jewelers when you buy your jewelry. At least you get what you're being told you're going to get.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I know there's so much more that we need to ask you, so which only means we need to have you back in the studio sometime very soon. Mr. Praveen Patni and JSL Patni of Minar Jewelers, please do contact them. Like they said, it is important for you to value your jewelry, to get it professionally valued and know exactly what it is worth. It's just good to know, right? God forbid you should ever have to sell it or if it gets stolen, but it's just good to know what your jewelry is worth. And I know the last time we spoke, Mr. Praveen, you also spoke at length about the emotional value of jewelry, right?
Indeed.
Besides just
Indeed.
What it costs in pounds and pence, stuff that's been passed down generations, just how
Absolutely.
Dear it is to us. And I can vouch for the service that you give because we've had professional dealings and you've been absolutely amazing. I'll very quickly mention, you know, I had this coin, this gold coin in the family, which my mom gave to me saying that, oh, it's been passed down generations and it had some Urdu words written on it, inscription
yes.
on it. And very, very kindly, you took it, you got it evaluated. Firstly, we were surprised to find that it was actually 24 karat gold. And you gave me the historical context, the reference, how rare it was, etc., etc. I was absolutely blown away by your service. So truly, I mean, I'm giving you a personal recommendation, and it's always a pleasure to see how much you care about ethics in your business, how much you care about the service that you're dispensing. Perhaps that is why you're fourth generation jewelers, and may you thrive for years and years to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Shabnam. That's very flattering, but we are there to advise the customers what exactly what they want. We do a lot of heritage jewelry repairs just for the benefit of Sunrise listeners. If you got something which is very valuable to you, emotional love which has been passed on to for generations, and you can't wear it, come and talk to us. We'll sort it out for you.
Mr. Praveen Patni, JSL Patni, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can catch Shabnam Sahi, the ultimate storyteller, weekdays 9 a.m. till 12 noon.
It's time for Flirty at 8:30.
Calling all singles. Are you ready to get flirty at 8:30? Message the studio now and let the love doctor of Sunrise help you find love.
Yes, indeed. It's time for Flirty 8:30, and I've got a lovely guest on the phone. Hello there, Karen. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Karen. Hi, Amit.
Phew,
hi.
Phew, you can hear me. Thank God for that.
All good on your side?
Very good. Thank you so much for just taking part and just having a bit of fun with me. Why not, right?
Why not? Thank you for having me on here.
Oh, you're welcome, my lovely. So as I did last week, I think you were listening last week when you were like, I could do this. I could do better than Brithy.
Yeah, that was until 2 seconds ago. And I was like, should I change my mind or not?
No, but I got to tell you a beautiful story because it's probably one of the best stories that's emerged out of doing this Flirty 8:30. I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but what I will say is that when Brithy came on air last week, I'm not going to mention any names. We've had like two people come forward for her, but another one was a really interesting one. So someone was listening who's never really listened before, but just happened to be listening at that moment and really liked the sound of her and managed to get her number and contact her. So they're, you know, speaking. I'm not necessarily saying anything's going to happen, but it's just like, it just goes to show the beauty of this process. I think that's such a beautiful story.
That is amazing.
It's a lovely story. Anyway, Karen, I think you're going to have even more luck now, even more attention. So let's just try this and see what happens. No expectations, but you may as well just do it for a bit of fun, right? So Flirty at 8:30, it is pretty simple. I'm just going to ask you a few questions about yourself. And you never know, your special someone could be listening out there, okay?
You're ready for it.
That's it. There was an apprehensive ready there, but that's fine. It's fine. We'll get easier as we go along. Okay, so, before I ask you the first five main questions, let me just tell everyone what's your name and where you're from and how old you are if you want. And you can, like, you know, fudge a tiny bit of the details if you don't want to tell everyone where you exactly live or your exact age.
Yeah, my name's Karen, as kindly mentioned. I'm 39 and I'm from Essex.
Nice. Okay, Karen from Essex. So first question for you, right? If I were to ask you this, how would your best friends describe you? So not you, but if your best mate was on the phone right now, how would they describe you?
So my friends would say that I'm adventurous, like bubbly fun. I think I already mentioned in the chat, group chat, comedian.
You're a comedian, eh? Okay.
I'm a comedian, yeah. I'm willing to go out of my comfort zone.
Oh, I like that. That's a really good description. That's really cool. That is willing to go outside comfort zone. I like it. I like it. All right. Second question for you. What is one of the main things that you hope for in a partner? That means like in terms of quality, just the one key thing that you're looking for.
One key thing, Amit. It's a bit hard.
I know. It's very hard to narrow it down to one thing. But, you know, like, you know, above all else, they've got to have this one thing. Like, for example, you know, you're quite open to maybe, you might be open to a certain type of look. You might be you might like a guy with a beard, or you might like a guy with bald hair, or a certain type of look. But there's one thing in particular which you're like, no, they've got to have that.
It has to be communication, Amit.
Communicator, that's always a big one for women, I tell you.
Communication, definitely, yeah.
I hope the gents out there are paying attention to this, right? Because, like, you know, how many women come on air and say, communication is a big one. It's humongous, lads. You've got to learn to communicate. And that means not just listen, but to converse, to hold a conversation, how to create a conversation. All of the above, that's what communication means. It just doesn't mean you be a good listener. That's quite boring, actually. You've got to learn to communicate. That is have fun, converse, yeah. You know what I mean, right? Am I right? You tell me.
That is right, Amit. And not just words, actions too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You never listen to a guy's words, you always listen to his actions, I'm telling you. All right, question number three. Your date decides to sweep you off your feet anywhere in the world. That means that you would be putty in their hands. Where would you want him to take you?
Have to be somewhere hot.
Any particular place in the world, like, you know, does that mean, you know, maybe South Africa? Does it mean
I'll let him pick, Amit.
But it just has to be hot, but he has to choose somewhere
hot. And it has to include some sort of activity, because I love my adventures and activities.
I love it. I love it. Because last week we said the same thing. Then we mentioned Mauritius, and then potentially we had someone pop out from Mauritius as well. So you never know. That could also be your dream destination. Who knows? That could be the place where you get married too. Question number four. If you were to cook your signature dish to impress your date, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I've got a few.
Oh, yeah? Oh, a woman of confidence. I like it. I've got a few. Not just one, mate. A few.
Not just one. It has to be aloo bit parotte on Sunday afternoon.
What? Aloo what?
Aloo bit parotte.
Oh, aloo parotte. Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Okay, not just the dish. Not just the dish, ladies and gentlemen, but actually on the specific day, on a Sunday afternoon too.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so it'd have to be a Sunday afternoon date, and you would make that to impress him. Nice. I think there's quite a few guys out there will be going, like, rubbing their tummies right now going, Karen aloo parotta. Anyway, all right, okay, cool. Last but not least, what would a man need to do to win you over? Like, you know, what's one thing they would have to do that would really impress you, would, like, go out of, like, you know, it would just be like, that's a winner for me?
Listening and attention to detail.
Ooh, that's actually pretty bog standard, really. I want one thing that's not the usual answer. I want something that's not, like, you know, something particular.
Man that is working on himself, working to grow, is family orientated.
Oh, they're good ones. I like that.
Yeah, just looking to be a better version of himself every day.
Sweet. All right, cool. I think we've got all the details now. Let's just do a quick recap of Karen from Essex, right? So how would your friends describe you? You said adventurous. You're a bit of a comedian to your friends, and you're willing to go outside your comfort zone, which I love. That was a beautiful answer. By the way, for being on the spot, you've come up with some brilliant answers today, I have to say. Question two, what's the one main thing you hope for in a partner? You said communication. And as we did, we elaborated on that quite a bit. Question number three, if your date could sweep you off your feet, to be putty in their hands. Where would you want them to take you? And you said somewhere hot and adventurous. So again, this could be Mauritius. It could be somewhere else. Who knows? But hot and adventurous sounds like the type of man you're also after as well. Not just the location. Question number four.
Yes, definitely.
You want a hot and adventurous man too. If you were to cook your signature dish to impress your date, what would it be? And it would be alu bonante on a Sunday afternoon specifically. Correct?
Specifically.
Yes, specifically on a Sunday afternoon. That's
an Indian desi cup of cha.
I'm with a cup of cha, and that's a new one to me. That has actually got the time in it as well. Okay, and last but not least, what would a man need to do to win your heart? He'd have to be good at listening and attention to detail. But however, over and above that, working on growing himself, that is, of course, you know, like self-improvement, that kind of person, and also family orientated. Did I capture everything? Did I miss anything?
Spot on, Amit.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. If you've just joined us and you're wondering what's happening, this lovely lady, this lovely brave soul has just joined me. Her name is Karen. She's from Essex. She is single and she's looking for her special someone. If you're single and you happen to like the sound of Karen, get in touch with me. I'll put you both in touch. And you never know, or you might have a single friend or a relative or a brother or a cousin or something that may also be perfect for Karen. Then get in touch. Let me know. Karen, can I just say, you are a superstar for coming on it and just having a laugh, being brave and just having a bit of fun. So well done you, my lovely. You are awesome. And I truly hope... I truly hope you meet your Prince Charming soon. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what you got to do. And that was Flirty at 8:30. And that is how we do.
Catch our love guru, Amit Soda, between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. every Sunday for that chill out zone.